The time is now 6 p.m. and this open floor hearing for the A38 Derby Junctions project is open. Thank you all for attending this evening. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Thank you. My name is Stuart Cowperthwaite and I am the lead member of the panel of two examining inspectors appointed by the Secretary of State for Transport for the application made by Highways England for an order granting development consent for the A38 Derby Junctions project.
Good evening. My name is Simon Warder, and I'm the other member of the panel. As the examining authority, we are holding an examination into this application and will then write a report to the Secretary of State with our recommendation on whether or not consent should be given. The casework team works alongside us throughout this process, and with us today are Bart Barkowiak, who is the case officer, and Saeem Gill, who is assisting Bart. Please approach Bart rather than Stuart or I if you have any queries during the hearing. I'll just go through some housekeeping matters briefly. If you have a mobile phone, could you switch it off or turn it to silent? I'm advised there's no fire drill this evening, so if the alarm does go off, we will need to act on it. There are fire exit points at the back of the room and this side, and we meet on the green at the front of the building. An audio recording will be made of the hearing, and this will be the formal record of the hearing. We will not be issuing any notes on this hearing or any summary of the action points, so please keep any records you feel are necessary. Can I ask, please, who's speaking for the applicant at the hearing this evening?
So my name is Liz Dunn. I'm a partner at law firm Burgess Salmon, and I am representing the applicant this evening. Shall I introduce the others on the table?
Please.
To my right is Gavin Sawyer, who is the highways consultant on this project from ACOM. And next to him is Andy Wilson, who is the project manager. To my left is Jo Mulqueen, who is the assistant project manager for Highways England on the Derby Junctions project.
Thank you. We're likely to hear a number of submissions by others. Would you prefer to respond to those individually or as a group at the end?
So I think that it would be nice to have the opportunity to comment at the end if there's anything particular that needs picking up. Otherwise, perhaps at the end if we're able to make a summary.
We'll come back to other introductions in a moment. The agenda is set out in Annex B of our letter of the 3rd of December, and I think that's on the screen behind us now. Item 2 on that agenda is the purpose of the hearing and how it will be conducted. The purpose of the hearing is to give interested parties an opportunity to make oral representations about the planning application. The hearing is subject to our powers of control over its conduct as established by the Planning Act 2008. Now, there is a general election being held on Thursday. And just to be very clear, the purpose of this hearing is to assist our examination, and it's not to be used as a political platform, and any attempts to do so will not be tolerated. And I should just say that nor will any aggressive behaviour be tolerated, and all participants should be given the right to speak without intimidation. Each interested party who has indicated the wish to speak will be invited in turn to come to the table to speak. The oral submission should generally be based on representations previously made in writing by the speaker. However, they shouldn't repeat matters previously covered in a written submission, but provide further detail, explanation, and corroborative evidence that will help to inform us. We'll generally limit each person's speaking time to 10 minutes for all of the submissions that they wish to make. And we will, as necessary, ask questions of the speaker and provide the applicant with an opportunity to respond. Could I also ask, please, that you direct all comments and questions and answers through Stuart or I rather than directly with any other party? Are there any questions about about the agenda or how the hearing will be conducted? Yep.
People haven't registered, are they going to be able to speak?
Yes, they will. I think we'll come on to how that's dealt with. There's a microphone at the back, and people will be given the opportunity to contribute.
And roughly how much time?
Well, as I say, it's 10 minutes, I think, will be.
Sir, could I just ask where there are representations being made from parties that we obviously haven't been aware of or aware of a case? Could I ask that those are submitted in writing after the hearing,
yes,
so that we're then able to respond as necessary?
Yes, please. Could you just one matter. We need people to speak into the microphone, please, because the hearing has been recorded. So we need to make sure that any contributions are picked up in the recording, and we need to make sure that everyone in the hearing can hear the contributions, please.
Thank you.
Just to add to that, when making a comment, please could you give your name and any organisation that you're affiliated with or representing today?
My name is Dennis Cahy. Your colleague mentioned that this was to go to the Secretary of State. Which one?
Secretary of State for Transport. So item 3 on the agenda is to confirm those who have notified us of a wish to be heard at the hearing. And so far we've had prior notification of 3 people who potentially wish to speak. They are Alan Bradwell, Godfrey Maynell, and I believe Mayor Perkins, although I'm not sure if she wishes to speak. Okay, thank you.
And do those other 2 parties wish to speak as well?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll come back to other parties in a moment. Thank you. So there are 3. We did request interested parties, so people who have registered to inform us before the hearing of their wish to speak, and 3 parties have done that. It is apparent that there are a number of people here who are not registered as interested parties. We do want to hear a broad series of views from local communities who may be affected by the scheme. So we are in principle content to take contributions from other people, other parties. Simon has made an important point about the general election and that this is not a political platform. Unfortunately, a number of leaflets had to be removed from the room before this hearing, which in our view would have conflicted with our requirement for this not to be a political platform. So the purpose of this hearing is for us to be informed about matters that are relevant to our examination of the scheme. I would reiterate that if there are any political comments, then those will not be tolerated. Now I'll reiterate that if there is any aggressive behaviour that is potentially intimidates other people here and prevents them from giving their views in any way, that will not be tolerated. If there are matters, technical matters or matters which are relevant to the examination, we're pleased to hear those. If there are groups, people who have similar views or are members of the same group, it would greatly assist us if that group could nominate a single speaker. If there is a repetition of the same points made by various parties, then that is not helpful to us. We just need to hear any point made once, and then it will be given our full consideration. Making a point more than once is not helpful. We just need it to be made well once. So if you have arrived as a group, and we're considering making the same point as individuals, I very much encourage you to appoint one person to speak for you. That would certainly help everybody greatly. Every contribution will be given full consideration and will be considered very carefully and given the full merit that it deserves. So please be assured of that. So we've had the 3 parties who've already notified of their wish to speak. Please, could anybody else who wishes to speak identify themselves, and in so do, as you do that, Could you give your name, if there's any organisation that you're affiliated to, what your interest is in the application, and if you could give a brief outline on the subject that you'd like to speak on, and then we can give that further consideration. So who else would like to speak? Perhaps we could take the gentleman in the centre.
Working? Lovely. I'm here. My name's Dave Clasby. I am here in a personal capacity, and I live 200 metres from the A38, and I represent the residence group of a place called the Victoria Streets, which is basically in between Ashbourne Road and Kedleston Road. In particular, I would like to comment on the impact on those communities in the north of the city. I have a professional interest in air quality.
Could you spell your name for us, sorry?
Certainly. C-L-A-S for sugar, B-Y.
And sorry, could you return the microphone? Because we haven't heard from that group previously...
That's fine.
It would be helpful to us if you would set out... This is primarily a written process. We are having a hearing today, but it's primarily a written process. And it's helpful to us as we go through and look at the evidence that's given to us that we have a written record of the key submissions. So if you'd be able to provide a written version of the statement that you make today, that would be very helpful.
Yes, after the inquiry.
And Bart will be able to help
That's fine.
You in how you make that happen.
That's absolutely fine. I'm very happy to do that.
Thank you. And that same comment about written submissions applies to other people who would like to speak, please. It works best with our process, and it means that we do have a written record in the form that you'd probably like to have it for us to consider. So there are other hands raised as well of people who might like to speak.
Hello. My name's Peter Robinson. I'm from Derby Climate Coalition.
Sorry, that was Derby?
Derby Climate Coalition.
Thank you.
I think much of what we want to say will have already been said by others. So I'm just registering our interest. I want to be involved in the process. And if need be, if I feel the need to, I'll come back and make a contribution if you've got time.
Okay, thank you. So we'll include you towards the end, and then you can see whether you need to raise any other points.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. And there were two ladies at the front.
Hello. My name's Alison Lee. That's A-L-Y-S-O-N and L-E-E.
Sorry, could you spell that?
A-L-Y-S-O-N.
Yep. Thank you.
L-E-E.
Yep.
I'm from Extinction Rebellion Derby.
Okay.
And my interest is in the effect of the scheme on the climate and the ecological emergency.
Thank you.
I'm Mary Smail, S-M-A-I-L. I represent Extinction Rebellion Ashbourne. As far as political is concerned, the matters are most relevant to this discussion. My interest on the application is the survival of civil order, democracy, and civil liberties of this country.
Sorry, now's not the time to make your oral submission, but those
Thank
are the
you.
Types of points that you would want to raise.
Yes.
You're from the same organisation, effectively. Is it possible for one of you to speak
I
on
would
behalf
like to
of the organisation?
On the behalf of Ashbourne, please. Other people are here on the behalf of Derby, separate organisation.
Are you going to cover different points?
I hope so.
Okay.
If I find that my points have already been covered, then I won't repeat what's already been
okay.
said.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you very much. Okay, so we will. Is there anybody else who'd like to speak this evening? No? Thank you. So it's important to use the microphones, please. The order that we'll take is Mr. Clasby. We have the other parties as well. Right, so we'll take the order as Mayor Perkins, Alan Bradwell, Geoffrey Maynett, Oh, I'm sorry. It's written in that way. I don't know what I was saying. I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. So, Godfrey Maynor. And then, sorry, Mr. Clusby, your first name was?
David.
David, thank you. So, David Clusby. And then Peter Robinson. No, we're going to leave Peter Robinson to the end. So we'll take Alison Lee after David Clusby, Mary Smale, and then Peter Robinson. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So we will use the time limit of 10 minutes, please. Can I invite Mayor Perkins, please, to make an oral submission? Thank you.
Hello. Thank you for letting me speak. I'm a local resident. I live on Enfield Road behind the McDonald's on the roundabout. I use Markeaton Park several times a week for recreation and leisure. I only recently found out about these proposed works. I'm concerned about the disruption from years of roadworks. I'm worried that my husband may be delayed in getting to work and we may be cut off from the city. I'm also worried by increased air pollution levels and more traffic. But I'm very concerned about the harm to nature in Markeaton Park and the removal of mature trees. With the declaration of a climate emergency, these proposed works should not be going ahead. Mature trees need to be protected for the biodiversity value and for their ability to capture carbon. I would be interested in finding out how these works could be stopped entirely. I think there's many negative impacts on me and other local residents. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Could you expand on the traffic delays issue that you raised? So what's the reason for you thinking or having concerns about the effect on your husband, which I think you set out?
So again, I'm quite new to all of this. I only found out about it recently. So
yeah.
from what I've heard with the works happening for 3 years, we live on Enfield Road and he drives out and uses a roundabout every day. He's a BT Openreach engineer, so he needs to go to different locations each day, and he needs to be there by a specific time. So, I'm just concerned that with the roadworks happening on the roundabout and there'll be closures, he's going to be affected by delays, especially for 3 years. So, again, I don't know an awful lot about this. I'm new to this, and sorry I haven't had a chance to research it properly, but I'm concerned about the impact it may have on my husband getting to work.
And that's forgive me, but Enfield Road's in the proximity of Markeaton?
Yeah, Enfield Junction. Road yeah. is behind the McDonald's
yes,
on the
right,
roundabout.
Right, you did say, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the other points you raised are understood. If you'd like to understand how to access the documents on the project, then Bart would be able to help you with that, because there have been assessments of many of the things that you mention. I'm preempting the applicant a little bit here, but Bart will help you to understand how to access the documents that you maybe are not familiar with.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, can we move to Alan Bradwell, please? Sorry, could Mr. Bradwell raise his hand? Maybe Mr. Bradwell's not here. Okay. So Mr. Bradwell did say that he would be attending, but obviously hasn't, so we'll move on. So Godfrey Maynell, please. I hope I pronounced that better this time. So 10 minutes, please.
Godfrey Maynell, and thank you for allowing me to comment on these proposals. I represent myself only. I am a farmer who lives in Kirk Langley, which is 3 miles down the A52, and I use the junctions we're referring to as very often, sometimes all of them in one day. And I totally understand the idea of these proposals is to relieve congestion on these junctions, and I see the logic with more development occurring around these areas that some people would say this is the right response. However, I'm dead against them going ahead. Derby City has declared a climate emergency, and the UK government has declared that they were a legally binding target of reducing carbon to zero by 2050. My main concern is around the embodied energy and the CO2 admitted to create these huge infrastructure projects. I love the Derbyshire Hills, and to get the aggregate required for this scale of project, there are green fields which will need to be ripped up to claim the aggregate beneath them. The vast amount of concrete, soil manoeuvres, tarmac, aggregate, the lorries required to do that will have a huge carbon output. All these things are going to be done with diesel engines, and there's going to be a huge CO2 output as a result of this. In the years running, as the project takes hold, to get the project finished, there's obviously going to be huge queuing, and there'll be a huge CO2 output as a result of that disruption. This CO2 output is happening just when a growing awareness of the danger we are in from runaway climate change and the disaster for my children and others. I'm a farmer, and I've started planting trees in part to draw down carbon dioxide, as I think this is an important measure. We have a new group in Derby who I'm not speaking for, but I know that Trees for Derby are in part planting trees. They had 80 people turned out who are concerned, and they planted trees the other day in part because they're trying to reduce the carbon which we've already got in the atmosphere. Now, if we go ahead with this proposal, it makes a mockery of my attempts to plant some trees on my farm and the other tree planting proposals, because I haven't got the figures, but we should look at them. The area of land needed to pull down the carbon just to take into account the carbon given off to make this construction will be vast. I've done forestry at university, or agroforestry. Yield class is, 18 cubic metres over 40 years. We're going to need a great chunk of Derbyshire to compensate just for the CO2 for this project. And so what will the project achieve? It will be putting money into yesterday's thinking. As I approached the A52, approached the Mark Eaton Junction, in a few years' time this goes ahead, I might be able to leapfrog the A38. I'll then be queuing. I'm already queuing when I get over the A38 junction in Derby. So the idea that it's going to relieve congestion in Derby is not true. We're going to be jammed with cars in Derby. And we're all going to be breathing in the pollution associated with that. So people whizzing up from Birmingham might better zip through Derby, but as the people in Derby are concerned, we're going to have more pollution, not less pollution. Derby will still be full of traffic. And the idea that electric cars are going to sort this, I think, is wrong as well.
Thank you. Could I just... sorry, are you...
I'm quite finished.
Please carry on.
Very nearly finished. I work for Christian Aid as well, and they're encouraging us to cut our carbon footprint. And they represent, for example, West African farmers who are literally dying because of the drought they're in. And we now know that's linked to climate change. So I feel that they're part of the mix here. We need to behave responsibly for people who climate change is killing at the moment. And right around the world, people are aware of this. Derby was at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. We want to be a city which leads people out of this chaos we've created. And I think this proposal needs to say no thank you to it. Encourage cycling and walking and local buses. I've recently started cycling into Derby again. And I want to encourage my children to, but it's dangerous at the moment. We need safe cycling lanes. And the people on the buses, we need to think about them rather than the car drivers entirely. They need more frequent buses. So I think there's a green response, and I would like Derby to be ahead of a green revolution. Thank you.
Thank you very much. No applause, please. No applause, please. That is intimidating for other people who might have a different point of view. Thank you. If I could just pick up... Sorry, could you return the microphone, if possible? I'd just like to seek a little bit of clarification on a couple of things, if I may, and actually to make a couple of points that might be helpful to people who are not familiar with the examination to date. So at the very beginning of this examination, we set out a limited number of principal issues that we thought were particularly important for us to consider during this examination. Within that list of principal issues was climate change and CO2, and that includes embodied energy. There are actually at a specific hearing tomorrow questions that we're raising about embodied energy and the measures that can be taken to demonstrate that those are correct measures, that some of the questions are looking at targets for embodied energy and benchmarking against best practice, that sort of thing. I'm just giving you a snapshot. There is also consideration of CO2 emissions and how that has been assessed and how that can be mitigated. So I'm just raising these because there are things that people here may not be familiar with, being new to the examination. So there are principal issues of that sort that we have raised and that we are pursuing through this examination. And there are various tests that we are required to make sure are satisfied for the scheme. So I just add that by way of context, really. You made a specific point about... you gave a view that congestion in the city wouldn't be alleviated by the scheme. Is there any specific evidence you can give to support that view?
Well, what I would say to you was that as certainly at certain times of day, once I've got over the A38 junction, I'm immediately queuing. So having that junction improved won't improve the situation immediately after that. So we'll be stuck in traffic anyway. That's the point.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for those other bits.
Yes.
Just so I understand the process, presumably you haven't got the powers to say, let's look at how congestion can be relieved through more buses, through more cycling. Is that outside your...
No, we're looking... There are expectations of the support for non-motorised transport.
Okay.
There are various tests that are applied to that and evidence of support being given to non-motorised transport. We have a series of questions about bus services and potential impact on bus services, for example, during construction, and again... potential measures to enhance some of those services. So those are all in the mix of things that we're looking at. And I think the previous discussion about biodiversity and the issues that that were raised by Mayor Perkins earlier, those are all within the issues that we're looking at. As an examining authority. So, again, we're doing this as an independent examining authority. We prepare a recommendation and a report after the examination that goes to the Secretary of State.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. And thank you for keeping to the time. Could I invite David Clasby, please, to make a submission? Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. And again, if I could ask you to keep to 10 minutes, please. So we'd like quality rather than quantity. I'm sure the quantity would be good as well, but if we could.
Well, I can't guarantee the quality. I can definitely guarantee the quantity if given the chance.
We'll aim for the 10 minutes, if that's okay.
Okay. So as I have previously stated, I am a local resident. I live within about 200 metres of the A38. So what I'm here today to do is to express deep concern from the communities that I engage with on a regular basis. So, for example, on Monday I have a community university residence liaison meeting at Derby University. So I have regular contact with other community groups in the area of Derby that where I personally live. I would say, first and foremost, there is great concern that we will basically gridlock during construction for 3 to 4 years, we will gridlock the north of the city. There is a great deal of concern that, as at the moment, there seems to be no community engagement or particular mitigation plan in place that has been shared with members of the community to alleviate that impact. One of the impacts is going to be is that when the A38 is basically reduced down to a single carriageway, which one presumes it will be for most of the construction period, given the level of traffic using it, a lot of that is going to actually be pushed into the city. So that is therefore going to drastically decrease the air quality for residents who live not just in the north of the city, but across the whole of the city. If I can remind you that actually Derby has a legal requirement to improve its air quality. Certainly that is just on Stafford Street, which is part of the Inner Ring Road. However, if you look at the recent environment reports looking at air quality, you will see that there are many sites across the city, and certainly the A38 is one of them, where there is a significant concern over poor air quality, where we are, if not over the 40 threshold for NOx, then we are very, very close to it. So effectively, what we could be seeing is, through this construction, we could be seeing those levels being pushed and made illegal. So this construction will basically make parts of the city illegal in terms of air quality. So we are carrying out an act which will make those residents have to breathe in, dirty air, whether it's over or above the 40, the fact is that 40 is an arbitrary limit, but they are going to be breathing illegal levels of air or pollution. So that is a major concern. As far as we are aware, as a community, there has been no assessment made of the impact on air quality in the north of the city. Certainly, there are parts of the revised Inner Ring Road, which is along Uttoxeter Old Road, where there has only recently been monitoring going in. And when I say monitoring, I mean diffusion tubes, which have a plus or minus accuracy rating of 25%. So they can be out by 25%. Now, that's only just gone in, and Uttoxeter Old Road will be one of the rat runs which will, Mackworth, is, as Mayor was talking about, is going to be cut off significantly. Buses are going to find it very, very difficult to get beyond the from the north through the A38. So people are going to rat run, and they're going to end up, a lot of them are going to end up from Mackworth ending up on Uttoxeter Old Road. That's also been designated as now effectively part of the Inner Ring Road. It's a single carriageway in one of the poorest communities in our city. It has a nursery on it. My children went there. Okay? That air quality is going to be appalling. We're going to have stationary traffic for 3 to 4 years. And it's going to be illegal. Okay. So one of my questions is very much around modelling of the impact in the city, what modelling has been taken out, what has been carried out. What I'd also like to do is, personally, this doesn't bother me, but I know that there's a lot of concern in my community, and I'm here to represent my community, over the issue of parking. So, for example, we live between two of the main university sites. We already have a problem with parking. There is a shuttle bus that runs along the A38. There is also a car park at Mark Eaton Park, which is an overspill car park, to allow students to go and park there. Okay? Well, the shuttle bus is going to get caught up in the construction traffic. effectively, Mark Eaton Park is going to be cut off a lot of the time because, you know, there are real concerns within the public transport sector over the impact of this work on their timetables. Now, what are people going to do? If they can't go and park at Mark Eaton Park and they can't use the shuttle bus, guess what they're going to go and do? They're going to park on all those local streets. What's that going to do? It's going to make the congestion even worse in those local communities. So, again, that is something that is of significant concern for people who live locally. I would like to just pick up a couple of points. Actually, I'll come on to this point here. I think one of the things we've done some... So I'm part of a local cycle campaign group, Derby Cycling Group, and we've done a little bit of analysis using some of the Google traffic monitoring. A significant percentage of the traffic that currently uses the A38 is local traffic. Now, if a significant percentage of it is local traffic, then what is being proposed is merely a help to those people who are coming down the A38 from the M1 and then carrying on down towards Birmingham. The worry is that really what this money could be done is to be spent on alleviating local traffic, because that is the significant percentage of traffic being used. So investing in walking and cycling facilities that are there. I mean, don't get me wrong, there are some interesting elements of the proposal from a purely cycling point of view. There are going to be certain things being addressed, which is great. But the key thing is when you take it as a whole, is if this is mostly local traffic, why aren't we investing in local solutions? And local solutions are public transport, walking and cycling improvements. Okay. I personally really struggle to see any justification for increasing the speed limit to 50 miles an hour from 40. Okay, I also see no justification in increasing to a... Well, no, I have a brain. I can see what the argument is for a third lane. I just don't agree with it. I think what you're doing is you're increasing capacity. By increasing capacity, okay, you're going to... It's a very simple idea within anybody who works in transport, which I do, is that it's called induced demand. If you build it, people will come along and use it because they'll say, hey, it's a lot easier to get through Derby now that they built these underpasses and the flyover. Hey, I'm going to start using that road now because I can actually use it. It will merely suck in more and more road vehicles. We have yet to see any evidence that over the long term, the air quality along the A38 will ultimately be better than it currently is. For example, the argument over electric cars is totally spurious because, as has recently been announced, sales of SUVs have significantly been increasing. We're actually seeing an increase in road emissions because of the types of vehicles people are actually buying, not the sorts of vehicles people would like to think we're all going to be buying, but what they're actually buying. So, at some point in the future, when we have three lanes plus a 50-mile-an-hour limit, the air quality along the A38 will return to what it currently is. So that is a non-argument. The only question is how long it will be before it returns to what it currently is. Let me just check. How am I doing, by the way?
I've
got about 30 seconds. Yeah. Oh, good. Thank you. Okay. I did say I could chat away. okay, so what I'll do very, very quickly do is I will say that the hospital are absolutely terrified of this scheme. Impact on and I know people who are actively involved in this area there. Impact on staff, delays for patients. The university are worried sick because they're going to have new students turning up to maybe consider Derby as their choice to go to, and what are they going to go and turn up and see? A building site. So the impact on local businesses, okay, is going to be significant. And finally, the Tyndall Centre, okay, who are working with Greater Manchester,
And who are the Tyndall Centre?
So the Tyndall Centre are an organisation that looks at carbon emissions. Mm-hmm. And what they've done is, this is just a piece of information that you haven't, I'm not going on to the carbon argument, but it's a piece of information you haven't yet received, is basically the Tyndall Centre are working with, they set carbon budgets. Okay, so they've set a carbon budget for the country, and they've broken carbon budgets down by local authority. I'll give you an example. Derbyshire, I was at a meeting recently with Derbyshire County Council, and in that meeting, I asked their climate mitigation officer, in total, how many years of carbon can Derby emit? What is the total amount left in the tank? How many years can you actually still? And she said, at the current rate, 6 years. 6 years. And that's been analysed by the Tyndall Centre, who I say are working with other local authorities across the country. Now, this one scheme will burn through all of that. Effectively, once the scheme is finished, we'll all be walking.
Mr. Clasby, thank you. I'd just like to ask a couple of points.
Please do.
You were reading from some notes. If those could be submitted as a written submission, as I said before.
I'm happy to type these up and email them in.
That would be perfect. And Bart will help you to understand how to do that.
I just need an email address.
Yes, well, he'll give that to you. And then once it's into the system, there are opportunities for others to respond, etc. So we have it formally in the system, and that's helpful. Just a couple of things. You talked about student parking in Markeaton Park and a shuttle bus.
Yeah.
Could we get a land plan up, actually, if possible, of the park? Or you know, works plan, whichever is easiest. I'd just like to understand where in the park the overspill parking is and where the shuttle bus operates. So that's the roundabout
Markeaton. Yeah.
So are we near there, or is it...
Yeah, so basically, if you go in, it's sort of like at the top in the middle is... Yeah, that's where the car park is. So that's where they do effectively a park and ride.
So students use that?
Yes. So there's an agreement between the Mundy family who own Markeaton Park. I also sit on the neighbourhood board for Darley Ward, which is the ward that covers this part of the city. So we regularly have contact with the Mundy family because that sits within our jurisdiction. Mm. So they lease that, and the university sell season tickets or gives season tickets to their students so that they can park there. And then there's effectively a bus that runs from the Kettleston Road... I need to talk into this a little bit more.
Please.
Yeah. In the Kettleston Road campus site, and then it runs along the A38. It comes into Derby on Ashbourne Road. It goes into the Markeaton Street site.
Yeah.
Okay, then it comes out the back of the Markeaton Street site. It comes down a side road to Britannia Mill, which is another one of the university sites. Picks up some more students there, because bless them, it's at least 7 minutes walk. Okay, and they really do struggle. Yeah. Okay, so they often wait for at least 15 or 20 minutes for the bus to turn up, because, you know, precious. Then they go along what's called Mackworth Road and then past my house. Okay. And then they turn left onto Kettleston Road, and it heads back up to the Kettleston Road campus. So it does effectively a circular...
Is that a bus provided by the university? Or
it is a bus provided by the university. Currently, I'm desperately trying to get them to turn it into an electric bus. It's a diesel at the moment.
OK, thank you. I wasn't aware of that.
That's great.
So that's a couple of other points, if I may. You suggested that parts of the city will become illegal in terms of air quality.
Absolutely.
Again, air quality, as you would expect, is one of our principal issues that we're examining. Bart, if it's helpful, can direct you towards the assessments that have been made of air quality during construction and during operation. So Bart can direct you to where to find those assessments.
Are those assessments... My concern is that those are assessments of the construction site, not of the city. And so therefore there is a displaced impact into the city.
Yeah.
I'm not aware that those assessments have been carried or any modelling has been carried out.
I'll leave that to the applicant to respond to specifically at the end. that
yes,
specific
Yes, I'd
point?
Be very interested about Uttoxeter Old Road, for example.
Yeah, okay, thank you. The 25% accuracy of diffusion tubes, do you have any evidence of that that can be provided to us?
King's College in London.
If you could provide a reference to that, that would,
yeah,
be, that
it's
would
fine.
Be helpful.
I mean, I'm being generous there. A lot of people would actually have used the term plus or minus 50%.
Yeah.
I'm not but saying that they're useless. Yeah. I'm saying that they have to be used in a particular way and they have to be actually set up and then you sort of use them against something else. But they are, they're £15 for a little plastic tube.
Yeah.
We're not talking about really strong scientific evidence there.
No. Right, I'm
yeah,
interested
I will find
in
you the evidence.
Because,
I can find you the... Yeah. I will find that from King's College. I can get that for you.
Thank you. And the induced demand point.
Yep.
More capacity creates induced demand.
Yep.
If there's any scholarly papers or strong evidence of that sort that you have in mind.
Have you driven around the M25?
Yeah, well, of course.
Okay. Well, I agree. I understand what you're asking me. Yeah. I'm just saying that I think...
I understand the principle. It's,
yes, I know you do.
It's
Okay, well, I will find some, if I can find some, as you say, scholarly papers on induced demand.
Yeah, thank you.
That's fine.
And I think that's all for the moment. Thank you very much indeed.
It's okay.
Alison Lee, please.
Hello there. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak. I have a prepared statement that's been agreed by my group, so if it duplicates some things, I apologise, but it won't take very long. It won't take anywhere near 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Okay, so we understand that this scheme has been being considered for a long time. Before the recognition of the climate and ecological emergency, so people may have thought these development plans were a good thing when it first started. I understand that. But we now know that we drastically need to cut our carbon emissions and focus on public transport and cycling infrastructure and not on expanding road infrastructure for more cars and lorries. Following overwhelming scientific evidence given by the IPCC, the United Nations Secretary General has stated in the last few days or weeks at COP25 that climate change is no longer a long-term problem. He says we are confronted now with a global climate crisis. The point of no return is no longer over the horizon. It is in sight and hurtling towards us. Drastic measures need to be taken. So a climate and ecological emergency has been declared by Parliament and Derby City Council, probably since this project was started. So surely these roadworks must now be seen as not only illogical and destructive, but as a climate and ecological crime. This huge construction project will cause worse congestion and pollution, a huge carbon footprint, massive disruption to local residents, and the loss of some of Derby's large trees and green space. It cannot be allowed to go ahead. And as a group, we will be seeking advice from Client Earth regarding legal action if this scheme does go ahead following the stated declaration of climate and ecological emergency. Thank you very much.
I don't have any specific questions on that, but if you could provide that in writing, that would be, and as I say, Bart can help you to identify how to do that. Thank you. Mary Smale, please.
Thank you for allowing me to speak at this meeting. I am from Ashbourne. I'm a member of Ashbourne Extinction Rebellion, and I'm the author of a diploma in Christianity and the Environment. I speak on the behalf of humanity, including those of the global community who have no voice here, and the global ecosystem, and all the animals and plants, because we all breathe the same air, we all share the same climate. And as a point of clarification, Bart,
must say that XR is an apolitical organisation which seeks to educate people on climate change. So my probably misguided attempt to drop leaflets around followed my instinct to always try and educate, clarify and seek the truth in any situation. So I do beg your pardon if I've caused offence. It was completely unintentional. The government and many other governments around the world have declared a climate emergency. This actually means that if we are in the throes of a climate emergency, when it actually begins to take its full effects, it will lead to complete breakdown of civil society, disorder, the loss of democracy and all our public services, a nightmare scenario, worse than a war, because there is nowhere which we can go to escape it. Road schemes such as this make a contribution to threatening the survival of our children and our grandchildren and contribute to the sixth great mass extinction of all species on the planet. This roadwork is not congruent with the government's declaration of a climate emergency. On a more local level, there'll be a severe effect on the visual amenity of the elegant 1970s footbridges crossing the A38, the loss of mature trees, and the loss of some rather nice houses. Demolition of homes is not always welcome to local residents. The money should be better spent on more frequent and cheaper buses. It costs me £10 return to travel the 12 miles from Ashbourne and back. And during the construction of this new scheme, no doubt travelling by bus will be unreliable. There should be more cycle lanes, as it's already been said, and more incentives to walk. The amount of money being spent could revolutionise public transport in Derby, putting us into the 21st century rather than harking back to the last century's tired solutions that have been proved not to work, as Mr. Clasby has pointed out at length. I would like to ask, who benefits from this scheme in the long term, apart from the contractors undertaking the work? And that is a serious question to which I demand an answer. And to sum up, I'd say that the scheme is tantamount to ordering more deck chairs for the Titanic as the ship sinks. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Just on a couple of the matters you raised there, so I referred to principal issues earlier. The compulsory acquisition and demolition of homes is a matter that is one of our principal issues. It's something actually we considered earlier today. Buses, I mentioned earlier, and public transport are amongst our issues. I've already mentioned that climate change and CO2 and embodied energy issues are amongst the principal issues that we're considering as well. So, I say that for your benefit, not being involved in the project. Again, if you wanted to see the assessments that have been carried out that do cover some of the areas that you've mentioned, Bart can help direct you towards where you can find those. They're publicly available to anybody, actually. You don't have to be an interested party to find this information. They're available to anybody.
Could I please reiterate the question that I asked?
Mm.
Who benefits in the long term? Yep. Who benefits in the long term apart from the contractors? In view of what Mr. Clasby said, that it blows the entire carbon budget for Derby for the next 6 years, we're actually creating something which we cannot then use.
Yeah. The documents I referred to do address that issue, but again, I'll give the applicant an opportunity to respond at the end. If you could just bear with us.
Beggar's belief, I'm sorry.
I'm not dodging the question. There are answers to the question. There's various ways of finding the answer, and we can help direct you towards that. But thank you very much. Peter Robinson was the next. Would you like to make a contribution?
I think I'll leave it. The points have been very well covered so
far. Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else who'd like to make an oral contribution? That takes us through the list of people. Thank you for those. A number that we weren't expecting, but actually some very relevant and important points for us. I would reiterate the written contribution, if you would, particularly for some of the more detailed submissions, that would be very, very helpful. And they will all get our full consideration. Okay, would the applicant like to respond?
Thank you, sir. Liz Dunn on behalf of Highways England. Thank you, everyone, for your contributions. It's good to hear those contributions from the local community. I'd just like to really reiterate something that the inspectors have said around the documents and the assessments that are available. Highways England's carried out a very detailed environmental impact assessment of the effects of the Derby Junction scheme, which covers things like traffic and transport, air quality, climate change, ecological and environmental matters. And that assessment looks at both the construction and the operational impacts of the scheme against recognised standards and methodologies, and then where certain mitigations are needed in order to manage the impacts of the scheme, for example, around traffic management, there are detailed provisions and outline plans. So I really would encourage everyone who is interested to have a look at those documents and see. There are just a couple of points I wanted to make in respect of Mr. Clasby's submissions. Receptazine Natoxa to Old Road have been assessed for both construction and operational impacts, and those are set out in the environmental statement, and induced demand is also covered as well. So some of those areas, I think, where there were concerns, the assessments do consider those. And in respect of the receptors in Utoxeter Old Road and that area, predicted concentrations are all within limit values. So I think that's an important point to note. In terms of who benefits from the scheme has been identified by Highways England and by the government as being a strategic road improvement scheme as part of the roads investment strategy. There is considered to be benefit to Derby and wider from the delivery of that road project, and it is supported, as I understand, in principle by the City Council and the County Council. So there are wider benefits that are considered at that level in terms of the project, and that is the reason it's being brought forward, and it is considered to comply with and deliver the objectives that are set out by Highways England. If those objectives are set out in the planning statement that accompanies the document, as well as how the scheme is considered to comply against adopted policy. So I would encourage everybody to have a look at those documents because there is an awful lot of information there.
And if on seeing those documents and reviewing those documents, give you cause to ask further questions, then at our discretion, we can even if you're not an interested party, we can accept those questions into the examination as well. So there are documents to review. If you've got questions on those documents and the points that are raised in them that follow on from some of the points you've raised about Utoxeter Road or who benefits or some of the other things that came out, then there is the ability to follow up and raise follow-on questions once you've done those reviews. And it would be rare for us not to accept evidence into the examination. So,
it's just a technical question,
okay,
really. Can I ask the date of the assessments? When were these assessments carried out?
Which assessments specific?
Climate change assessments.
Those will be in the documents. Those are all set out in the documents.
I'm just suggesting that maybe they're irrelevant now because the science on climate change has continually being reassessed and continually being found to be more urgent.
So
I think maybe these assessments might be out of date.
Okay. Once you've had an opportunity to review the assessment, then please, if you are of that view and have evidence as to why it might be out of date, that would be gratefully received into the examination. I'll give the applicant an opportunity to do a final mop-up at the end. There was another point over there. Could you wait for the microphone? Sorry. Thanks.
I quite take the point that there's information available for us to study, but as the applicant is here, does she know how much CO2 will be generated in the construction of this project?
Thank you. Again, if you want to include that question within your written submission, it can be addressed in writing. I'll leave it to the applicant if the applicant wants to respond later. I'm going to take this as probably a final point. You haven't had an opportunity to give an oral submission yet, so. And could you give your name?
My name is Peter Robinson. My question is something that the applicant said, that the councils have approved in principle the project. What I'd like to know is what happens if the council changes its mind, if Derby City Council changes its mind? Would the project still go ahead? Or that's, I'd like to have a view on that. So.
Okay, thank you. Any other final points? Last chance. Okay, thank you. Would you like to do a final wrap-up of any of those points?
I don't have anything further to add. I don't think I did say that the council had approved the project. So I said they were supportive of the project, which is a different... Supportive of the principle of the project. They haven't approved the project because the decision doesn't sit with the councils. It sits with the Secretary of State for Transport.
So the views of the local authorities will be taken into account by us and by the Secretary of State. They do not make the final decision. But, you know, they are a significant voice amongst many other voices for our consideration of the issues. Thank you very much. Could I ask the applicant to provide a summary of responses as well? It may be a brief document, but the responses that you've made, if we could have those in writing, please, that would be helpful. Sir. Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is simply issues and actions arising. Just to reiterate the point one more time, it would assist us tremendously if you could provide a written version of your submissions and submit those by the 19th of December, which is the deadline 3 for the examination timetable. There is an audio recording of the hearing, which will be published on our website as soon as possible. So please refer to the website for details of the next stage in the examination. Point of information, there is an issue-specific hearing tomorrow, which will be held in this room at 10 a.m. Seating is available from 9:30. And again, the topics to be discussed there are available on the website if you want to have a look at those in advance. I believe that covers everything that was on the agenda. Just remains to thank you for your assistance this evening and to wish you a safe journey home.
Thank you.
The hearing is closed. Thank you.